The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Ryan Pills,
and Jonah Dew.
In the house!
Yeah, we had a busy week of gaming this week. We had snow come through.
That's right.
And so we were all stuck inside playing games, which was amazing. What did you guys get to the table?
Well, we got to play the new expansion to Villainous. Have any of you actually played Villainous?
No, unfortunately.
All right, this is a game where you get to take on one of the Disney villains, like Captain Hook.
You play as them.
You're playing as the character, as one of the Disney villains, and you're trying to take actions to complete your objective, and it's sort of asymmetric. And this is an expansion that has three new villains in it: Cruella de Vil, Mother Gothel from, anybody know?
Tangled.
And Pete from?
The Dragon?
No.
Is this Pete like Goofy's nemesis?
This is Pete from Steamboat Willie.
Yes.
The original black and white.
So, yeah, it is that Pete. Just the early Pete.
This is the earlier Pete. Yeah.
Interesting.
I know Pete from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
There you go.
Yes.
That's right.
So anyway, I got to actually play Pete, and the interesting thing, there's a very colorful game, but Pete, everything's in black and white. So the cards are in black and white, his board's in black and white, so it was thematic.
Sounds cool. I haven't gotten a chance to play Villainous. I wanted to, because it was in the TantrumCon library, played at TantrumCon, didn't get a chance to, but I am interested to see what they do as they continue to release these expansions. My wife just binge-watched all three Descendants movies,
It's
like the Descendants of the Disney villains.
Yes, we've seen the first one,
It's very contrived. I don't know how they would all end up on an island together or even have kids, but yes, they have kids. I'd be interested to see if they somehow tie that in. I don't know.
So what's your favorite villain, Ryan?
Disney villain? Mm-hmm. Maleficent.
Melissa's played Maleficent from Villainous.
That's in the base game. She's in the base game. She's trying to put curses in her different areas. So yeah, interesting. Each villain has their own objective that they're trying to do, which is very asymmetric. And in the expansion, I was playing Cruella de Vil, and she's trying to get at least 99 puppies captured.
Evil. Evil. Cruella de Vil. Sarah, do you have a favorite villain?
Ooh, growing up, I was always slight. Well, let me premise this. I was always scared of the witch in Snow White.
Okay.
Snow White's kind of a scary movie.
Yeah.
I only watched Sleeping Beauty a couple of times that I remember, but my favorite villain would probably be Ursula.
Oh, she's in the base game
she
as
is,
well.
Yes.
Jonah, do you have a favorite?
I'm not sure if I have a favorite villain. I think that growing up, I always felt so bad for the Aristocats when they get captured, but I don't think that's a villain. I think they just were catnapped.
Yeah, my favorite's Yzma, which I've not. She's in one of the expansions to Emperor's New Groove, or for Emperor's New Groove, and I've not played that one yet. But I'd like to play that in the future sometime. Anyway, we can continue on.
I think she's probably the funniest of the villains.
Yes.
So. Very cool. Jonah, what did you get to play this weekend?
Well, I have a confession to make. I played a lot of games over the weekend.
What happened?
Well, my wife was out of town, and like Sarah said earlier, we had some snow, so I was trapped in the house, and I made sure to invite all my friends over before that happened so we could play games. So this weekend, we played almost everything we could find. We played Flux, we played The Mind, we played Decrypto, we played Letter Jam, we played Inner Compass, we played Mechanica, we played Vindication.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some more. We played...
He's just starting.
Yeah. Right. We played... let me think. I got to remember all of the
Rival
ones
Restaurants?
We
Rival Restaurants.
We did play Rival Restaurants.
Did you play Oceans?
We did not play Oceans.
But you had it.
It was on the docket, but we didn't get to it. We played Between Two Cities, and we played, I think, maybe my new favorite game,
which is
War Chest.
No!
War Chest.
Is this your new favorite game?
I think so. I really enjoyed it.
Will would agree with you.
I've not been able to play this game.
Well, you're missing out.
I think
out.
Kevin is purposely not playing the game now, because it's been a long-standing
it's like a
joke.
Thing. It's like a thing now. So... It is. So, question, this is your new favorite game or just favorite of the weekend?
I think maybe just favorite of the week. It is a good game.
Okay.
I'm not going to take that away from War Chest. It is a great game. I really enjoyed it. But I think maybe just favorite of the weekend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it would probably be up there in some of your favorite games.
Yeah, I'd put it pretty high. I'd put it pretty high, maybe in the top 10.
Woo. Ooh. Ooh. Jonah's already working on his top 10.
Those are dangerous words, right?
Right.
But I think so.
Yeah, we're all working on our top 10 list, and I know Sarah, she's got some work to do. Tell me, how is that going, Sarah?
Oh, I keep playing so many good new games. Uh-huh. It's
is it hard?
Yeah, a lot of my top 10 are older games.
That's good.
So there are ones that I think they have a little bit of sentimental value.
Okay.
One of them is a game that's...
She going to reveal one right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's one that I don't know of anyone else who knows how to play it.
Whoa.
Besides, like, in the area here, I don't
Monopoly?
Know anybody else that knows how to play it or has played it. I've only had a few people online who've commented that they have played the game before.
I am looking forward to this top 10 list, which should come out sometime in March.
In March, yeah.
Sometime in March. Cool. Ryan, did you get anything to the table?
We finally finished a campaign in Pathfinder.
Oh,
it's a
role-playing
nice.
Game.
Very cool.
So that was fun. We defeated an evil cleric and destroyed a bunch of robots. Anyway, it was
so fun. Was the evil cleric controlling the robots?
Yeah. She was controlling the robots. We had someone cast Hold Person, and then our monk coup de grace her with a fist to the neck.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of brutal.
That was pretty.
But anyway, yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
Cool. We actually got to play another game of Sorcerer City from Druid City and Skybound Games, which you talked about last week. And we got to play Monster Baby Rescue.
Monster Baby Rescue.
Monster Baby Rescue. And when I saw this game, I was like, this is not the game. Not a game for me. This is like a kid's game. I mean, it's got a kid's title, right? Monster Baby Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not a bad game. You start with a little baby monster that... It's pretty cute looking, and they have like legs and a torso and a head, and just think of them being three different like tiles, and you get to upgrade them throughout the game. So by the end of the game, hopefully you have like a orc that has this like cool knife or sword, and it's all decked out in its armor.
Yeah, the premise is that the monsters are kind of abandoned or they need to be taken care of. So the initial tiles that you have, they're all dirty and sad, and you have to upgrade them to get to the better tiles. I was a manticore, I think. Mm-hmm. I had, and as you upgraded it, it got all clean and jewels and shiny and happy.
Yeah, it's all about getting points, and it's got this cool sort of rondel mechanic where you are taking turns on whoever's the furthest back gets to take a turn. And so if you just take like one or two actions, or like if you don't take a very powerful action, you could take multiple actions in a row, which is which could be good or bad depending on what kind of tiles you're trying to get. So yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with how well this game played for adults. This is Monster Baby Rescue from Rio Grande Games. And the designer is actually Vladimir Succi, and you might be familiar with him because he's designed some pretty heavy games. Pulsar 2849.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo!
And Underwater Cities, which is another pretty popular game, which we will get to the table someday, just like War Chest. but anyway, what else do you guys play?
One I'm going to talk about during our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter?
Yes, and I was surprised. It was a card battle game with some bluffing, and we needed another player because it's minimum three. So Will and I asked the kids, hey, do you want to play this game? They're like, oh, I don't know, because they were in the middle of something else. So they said, yeah, we'll come play. So they came and played, and they kicked our butts. I couldn't believe it. It was, they teamed up against us.
Yeah.
And were bluffing the whole time and being real sneaky with what cards they played, and they just crushed us. I was surprised.
Uh-oh, you're not going to be able to trust your kids to tell the truth anymore?
Well, no. When it comes to day-to-day stuff, that's usually pretty easy. But in the card game, it was interesting how they played their cards and then the outcome of everything. But I'll talk to about that in our Kickstarter conniption.
We might as well jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This week we'll be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 17th, 2020. Go ahead and start us off, Kevin.
So on February 17th, we have Monolith. They are launching Conan the Conqueror to Kickstarter. This is in the line with the Conan games. And it's got some new miniatures and new boards. And it looks like it's more of like a pirate-themed mega expansion to the Conan universe. He's got this swashbuckling thing going on. It's pretty cool looking. Anyway, it's going to get 55 new miniatures, a new hardcover book with a new adventure mode. It's got solo and co-op mode as well. I think you can play it competitively as well. And then a new double-sided game board. If you're familiar with the Conan series, it usually does pretty good on Kickstarter. And this one is called Conan the Conqueror from Monolith. So check it out. It's also, they did say, we'll have a limited stock of the 2015 Conan from their campaign a few years ago. Melissa.
On February 20th, Colossal Games is bringing back Hunt the Ravager. This was on Kickstarter previously, and this is a relaunch. The game is designed by Clinton Morris. One of the artists is Andrew Bosley and Scott Hartman. And this game plays 2 to 4 players in about 30 to 60 minutes. It is a hidden movement game that is asymmetric and card driven. So players will take on the roles of either the Ravager or the Hunter seeking him. And the Ravager is going to score points for destroying land and returning treasures to his lair. And the Hunters are trying to find the Ravager. And it's set in feudal Japan. One of the interesting things, though, is that the game is point-based instead of a hard and fast win-lose condition, as many hidden movement games are. Hmm. So it has a modular board, it has some pick up and deliver, and it's for 2 to 4 players, asymmetric, card-driven Hunt the Ravager by Colossal Games. Ryan.
Coming February 18th from IDW Games is, this is quite the title, Batman the Animated Series Adventures Shadow of the Bat. I think I got that right.
Got it all, Ryan. Good job.
Awesome. So this comes February 18th. This is in the Adventures Universal Game System. It's one of those games. So it's miniature-based. And you are on a board, and it's 4 people versus the game, or 4 people versus a 5th player. But you can play all cooperatively against the game itself, which is definitely an advantage, because I know when I was trying to do like Imperial Assault, this looks sort of like an Imperial Assault or Descent type game. Being that one player versus the many is really hard, because if you're good at the game, then everybody hates you. And if you're bad at the game, you just lose. I mean,
yeah.
So it's a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's no-win. So being able to be fully cooperative is definitely a plus. In this game, you get to play as some of the heroes of the Batman universe, Batman and Robin and Batwoman and such. And you're fighting, you know, the classic villains. And it's just got some really great art from the classic animated series. And as it launches, it's going to launch alongside a full expansion of the Arkham Asylum expansion, which has additional missions you can play through and additional characters. And this expansion has a new game mode called Clayface mode. It's basically Hidden Traitor mechanic, where one of you is Clayface pretending to be, you know, one of the heroes. And then at a certain point in the game, you reveal yourself and attack your friends. And then there's going to be character packs where you can get Nightwing and Tim Drake as Robin, Calendar Girl, and Firefly. There's going to be story packs so you can get the Phantasm and Bruce Wayne in plain clothes, or Batwoman and Bane. And it looks cool. You should check it out. Batman, I watched a lot of it growing up, and this is hitting all the right notes.
Very cool.
So, Jonah, do you have something to share?
I sure do. So coming to Kickstarter on February 18th is Rival Restaurants Back 4 Seconds.
Sounds yummy.
Yeah, and that's by Gap Closer Games. So if you're familiar with the base game at all, again, this is an expansion for that base game, but you are a chef and a restaurant, and your goal is to be the hippest spot in town by collecting the most popularity, which you get for completing restaurants. So in Back 4 Seconds, you're going to have some new chefs, and of course chefs come with special abilities particular to that chef, 6 additional restaurants, 9 brand new action cards, and the big reveal, it's coming with an event deck where the events are activated every other day and they actually affect all the players. So that's supposed to make the buy and barter stage of the game, which is, of course, where you buy your ingredients, where you auction them, possibly with other players, where you trade them, where you bid on them. That's going to make that really exciting because you're going to have new elements to strategize accordingly about. So that's coming to Kickstarter again February 18th by Gap Closer Games, and that is Rival Restaurants Back 4 Seconds. Sarah, what do you have?
Coming February 18th is Gladius. This is from Cat Quartet Games. It's from designer Alexandre Uboldi and Victoria Kena. And this is a 2 to 5 player card game. And this is the one I was talking about a little bit earlier in the episode where we had our kids join us. Has a little bit different rule set for 2 players as it's a bidding, not necessarily a bidding game. You're taking an action on your turn, using one of your cards, and the first thing that you'll do is place a token out. There will be 3 contenders out in the arena, and you will vote with those tokens whether you think they will get, there'll be a point value that you'll give them, or you can vote for one of those contenders to be the ultimate loser. If you're right, then you'll gain points off of that, but you have to be correct or you'll lose points in the game. And then you have a hand of cards. You only draw a certain number each round, and whatever you have left in your hand at the end of the round is what you'll move on with to the next round, where you'll draw a couple more. So you can play all your cards and go heavy-handed the first round, but you will might regret that later on. And in the cards, there are 3 different types of ways for the competitors to battle each other. And some of the cards in your hand that you'll play on a competitor may have extra strength that you'll add, or extra luck, or one of those things. And then what will happen is you play most of your cards face down on the competitor, and you'll kind of see like, oh, the other players are playing a lot of cards on this one guy and none on this other. Maybe I should try and, you know, change some stats and stuff. So a lot of anticipating what other players are doing. And then once everybody has finished playing, you'll reveal and figure out who has won and lost. And hopefully you'll have voted for the correct competitor and gained some points. So it's a pretty speedy little card game. It's got a quick and simple rule set as far as you're just going to play a token and some cards out of your hand. But there's a lot of thinking and anticipating what the other players are doing. So. Yeah.
I was definitely surprised at how much bluffing there was in the game.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where in the game you might have cards that just they don't apply to the battle at all, mm-hmm. because maybe they're about the you know, one of the three aspects that isn't in play. Mm-hmm. And you can just lay all of those down and people are like, oh, he's really building that guy up. But actually, that's
it's
the one you're
nothing.
Trying to
get. Yeah, yeah. So, my kids were really good at that. They would lay all these cards and they had nothing to do with what the character needed or what you needed for that specific battle. And so Will and I started voting for them because, like, we're going to lose. And then they're like, no, we made this other guy win.
Yeah.
You guys lost all your points. We're like, ah.
And I liked also that when you vote for someone, they don't know whether you're voting that they're going to win or
yes.
you're voting that they're going to lose. So
yeah.
that also adds an element to the bluffing.
But yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. So fun little card game coming from Cat Quartet Games. It's called Gladius. Kevin.
Yeah, so our last one for Kickstarter Conniption is coming from Studio Woe this week. It's called Gruff Whispers. Whispers of Madness. This is a standalone game in the Gruff series. Gruff, you're familiar with the three Billy Goat
yes,
Gruff.
Yes, the goat game.
The goat.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one around for
right,
a while.
Right, you're familiar with the fairy tale, though. Through the yes. The sort of the story is that they stopped that horrible troll. And that was trying to not let them cross the bridge. And now they destroyed it. And now the shepherds have weaponized their herds to become mutated monster goats called Gruffs.
Whoa.
Yes.
Right? So the game itself is a tactical combat game where players duel to the death. This is, like I said, a standalone game that's fully compatible with that. And it provides some new competitive experiences that adds new mechanics to the game. Sanity. And Madness, it's going to add 90 ability cards, 6 monster goats, 2 shepherds, some mutation tokens, and some other stuff like stat sliders, and turn order cards. So, yeah, check out Whispers of Madness. If you're familiar with the Gruff series from Studio Woe, it's got some pretty cool artwork to it, so you can check that out. That is wraps up our Kickstarter Conniption, but we actually have a interview with Mark from Grand Gamers Guild and Ricky, who designed Garinta. Let's welcome them to the house.
Hey!
Thanks for having us.
Hey, everybody.
So, Mark, you're with Grand Gamers Guild, and Ricky, what are you doing on here?
Well, I designed the game Garinta.
What?
And I'm just here to... I did! And I'm just here to talk about it with you guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you both on the show. Mark, this is, I think, your second time with us on Tantrum House. Maybe third. I don't know. Man, it's been so many times.
I was thinking third, actually, but yeah. What do I know?
Hey, third time. That's great. We are glad that you're both on the show to talk about Garinta, which is already, by the time this podcast is live, it will be already live because it launches February 12th, right?
Yep, we got the Kickstarter approval today, so high hopes that we hit the button and fund and, you know, all the things happen.
Awesome. Now, we got a peek at this when it was in a very early rendition a few years ago at Origins, and then I know Will and I got to see it again at PAX this year, and it's come a mm-hmm. long way. We've really enjoyed seeing how it's developed. Now, Sarah and Will have done a preview for it, so they're very acquainted. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the game?
Ricky, why don't you go to town on that one?
Okay, well, Garinta is a themed abstract, and it's got some elements of set collection and a little bit of engine building in it. So to play Garinta, you set up a mountain in the middle of tiles, and then you create a path around the board. And as you play, you're going to be taking elements from the path, moving the bump on the mountain, and based on your wisdom, which is how many you've already collected, you're going to be able to take patterns of elements from the mountain and put them on your board. And you're trying to get, as you get tiles, you're trying to work towards some goals, which might be to have even numbers of elements or the same number of elements of different types or something similar to that. And you just play through that way. And a lot of times you'll end up with the tug of trying to get tiles you need to help build your engine and tiles you need to actually score what you need.
So the game features kind of an Asian theme. It has some of the, you know, water, fire, earth, and so on. And then it also has void. And each one of those has its own way of collecting tiles. Did you have a, like, how did that process work of figuring out the ways to pick up tiles?
Well, that's actually something that Ricky came to us with in the very beginning is, you know, I guess he built this abstract and it, you know, mechanically it was very similar now to what it was back then, although I think you guys did play a different iteration. But the only movement pattern, or rather I should say gathering pattern that we changed was we gave Earth the digging down power, whereas Void used to have it because it felt a little more thematically connected. But otherwise, unless there's an iteration even prior to the one that I played, Ricky, the air, what is it? Rather, wind, fire, and water have always gathered in the ways that we experienced.
Yeah, the patterns that I had for all of them actually stayed from the very beginning. The only thing is we changed which ones did which to fit the theme a little bit better. And it was very confusing for me to, after playing it for so long, to have those switched up. But in the end, it ended up making a whole lot more sense.
So, Ricky, tell us a little bit about the process of bringing it to Grand Gamers Guild and the process of not only designing it, but getting it to a publisher.
Yeah, so this is a game I, like I said, it hasn't changed too much from the beginning. So I basically, you know, started it, designed it, the initial part, did some testing. We have a Colorado Game Designers Guild here in Colorado. So I went to a playtest night there, and Heather, which was working for Mark at the time, saw the game and then offered to take it and show it to him at what convention was that, Mark?
Actually, she was, I think she was visiting town in here in Grand Rapids for our local hometown convention and just had spent some time around the con with me and described it to me, and I was chomping at the bit just from the description.
Yeah, so I basically gave her a copy to show Mark and got a call from Mark, I think, within a day or two once she got down there. And then we just started talking then and haven't stopped yet.
Yeah, I really loved it right from the get-go. But I will say, Ricky, you are forgetting one crucial thing that did change. So the game actually used to have a different title. Did you, when you guys played it way back when, did you remember it having a different title?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember what that was?
No.
No, I don't.
So it used to be called Godai.
Yeah.
Which is representative of the five elements. But I just, you know, we want to be authentic and we want to be true to the spirit of the game. But I just had a problem, a complete mismatch with this idea of an abstract game called Godai, which obviously has its own meaning. But, you know, us dumb Americans are going to just say the name of the title and you're going to be like, yeah. What? Go die? Huh? And I just had this image of all these video makers and podcasters going, what is this game called? Go die. What, you know, that's almost as bad as like hate, you know, that was on Kickstarter. So, yeah. So Garinto, it conveys the same meanings, the actual meanings of the elements, the five elements stacked in the statue-like structure. And it's a little more elegant and a little less, there is no, like, English manipulation that's going to confuse anyone or have them make fun of it.
Well, while we have you on the show, what else about the game do you want to talk about?
I think it's worth noting that in addition to being an abstract game, I mean, it is an engine builder. A lot of people have commented, apropos, like, of nothing without prompting, that an abstract engine builder is pretty unique. And even insofar as it is an abstract, it does a pretty good job of latching on to the theme that we've put onto it, and that that it's mechanically very simple, but ultimately, you know, there's a lot of game there with the dozen goals in the box that you only put two in every game, and five key elements, and you only put two in every game. The goal cards score every round, but the key elements score at the end of the game. So there's that tug of being tactical versus being strategic. And, you know, the games are always super close, and I've had people who really thought they lost it, and then they lean into getting the key elements and all of a sudden, you know, they run away with it. So I think, once people have the opportunity to play it, which is because of how it is physically, it's kind of sad we can't do a print and play, but hopefully they'll be able to get a sensibility of what it is and be willing to take a shot at it. And then once they get their hands on it, really be enamored with what Ricky has created and what we've put out into the world.
Cool. Let's talk about the Kickstarter campaign. What are you selling the game for? What's the backer rewards?
Sure. So we have two levels on the Kickstarter, a $35 level for the retail edition and a $45 level for the Kickstarter edition. Retail will be $40 and $50 for any additional Kickstarter copies, so saving a few dollars there. The Kickstarter edition will come with a screen-printed drawing bag. It will come with a 3D Garinto as opposed to a punchboard Garinto, a metal coin as opposed to a punchboard coin, a foil embossed box, and the five-tile Dragon Mini expansion will be included for Kickstarter backers, whereas we'll just sell it in the aftermarket.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, it's a really clean campaign. Just because of the nature of the game itself, there are no stretch goals. It's what you see is what you get. I've played the Kickstarter game about seven times now.
Yeah.
And a game like Artemis Project really benefited from a stretch goal structure. A game like, Endeavor Age of Sail really benefited from a stretch goal structure. But I don't know if it's the nature of an abstract or if it's the nature of Garinto itself. But really, there's not other bits and bobbins and other things we could talk into this. The game is what it is. And if you've played our other games, hopefully you feel we've put out premium products like I think we have. And we're just starting that way out of the gate. None of this, we're going to upgrade from, a punch board to thick wood to plastic. We just have a vision of how we want the game to be. And that's what we want to bring to fruition.
Cool. So the game is already live on Kickstarter. When does it go to?
It's going to be a 3-week campaign from the 12th of February to, oh goodness, I need to look at my calendar, whatever.
So beginning of March.
Yeah, you go. Beginning of March. Thanks
Sounds
for that.
Sounds good.
Well, I'm super excited to see how well this one does. I think it is a good game that fits a good market as far as it's got a simple rule set. It's not hard to learn, but there is a lot of thinking involved. As you take your turn, are you going to go long term? Are you going to go short term and weighing your options and seeing what other people are going for? So it's got a ton of replayability as well. So it's got lots of great things going for it. And so I'm excited to see how well it does on Kickstarter and afterwards. Thank you guys so much for being here at the house, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
Bye, Mark. Bye, Ricky.
Bye.
Bye. See you guys.
Bye.
It's always nice talking to Mark and hearing about the projects that he's got working on from Grand Gamers Guild. Best of luck to them on their campaign.
So I know we sort of like jumped into Kickstarter Connection, and Jonah still had so many games.
Long
we're going to talk about
list.
It's like, we'll just pick back up that at the end of the show. So... Jonah, what else did you get to the table?
We did. We got a lot to the table.
Did you really?
Week.
This is hilarious.
We played Wavelength. We played Idiom Addict. We played Cabo, the card game. We played Between Two Cities. We played Terraforming Mars. We played Guardian's Call. We played In the Hall of the Mountain King. We played Mint Control.
Okay.
So we had a lot of fun putting everything we could on the table. There was a couple we couldn't get to. We ran out of time, right?
Man.
So
that's a lot of time, though. How many days of gaming was that?
I think that was Friday evening until possibly Saturday morning, way early.
So you just played all night long?
Just all night long. Started again Saturday at about noon, played possibly into Sunday morning.
Oh.
And started again about noon or 1 on Sunday.
Wow.
So lots of games.
Had you played Terraforming Mars before?
I had, uh-huh.
So Underwater Cities that I talked about from Vladimir, I've heard, and I've not played Underwater Cities yet, but I've heard it's a better Terraforming Mars.
Ooh, I'm interested.
I know. Me too. We should play.
Yeah, we should.
We do have the games. They're sitting on our table at home. They're in the queue to get to.
Yeah, they are in the queue.
Perfect.
Soonish. Maybe Faux SnowCon.
Yeah, Faux SnowCon. Have you heard about Faux SnowCon yet?
No.
So every year, every weekend, we have Ben and Paul Michael over at our house, and we play Saturday evening with them. And usually it snows like once a year in South Carolina. And usually what they do is they come over when it starts snowing, right?
I know exactly what this is.
And they stay the night, and then we have a big breakfast in the morning, and they stay the rest of the next day. Sometimes, depends on the snow, sometimes it's 2 or 3 days, so we get snowed in. But it hasn't really snowed
hard in
South Carolina, and we all said, we should just, like, make up a weekend and do it. So we're making Faux SnowCon.
Nice.
Making it up. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to play some games, and they're going to stay over Friday night, and we're going to play lots of games.
I mean, they could have counted this time, I guess.
Well, we could have.
There was like it flurried, and then it came down hard for an hour.
But yeah, unfortunately, it was
enough to make the grass look white in spots. Yeah, that was about it.
Kevin and I were doing a birthday party with balloons and magic on Saturday morning during the snow.
During the snow on Haywood, and it was an Alice in Wonderland theme, and they had a great time. But I don't think they had as many people at the birthday party as they were expecting because of the snow. So.
So, Jonah, of all your gaming this weekend, what were your top three games?
Top three games. I actually really enjoyed Vindication. Okay. My first time ever playing that, and I thought it was really cool. I really liked the kind of the element of the flipping the tiles to create the board, right? I really liked that. The kind of combination of what you needed to do to create the other aspects, like I think it was.
Did you become vindicated?
I did become vindicated.
I played it and did not become vindicated, but still won.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
So I love that one. Of course, I mentioned it earlier, War Chest.
Kevin. Sounds.
Woo.
Right?
Sounds like a cool game.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. And I have a really good track record at Terraforming Mars. I get a lot of wins playing Terraforming Mars. So I was really looking forward to that, but I did not win over the weekend.
Oh, have you played any of the expansions?
We played with at least two of the expansions.
I've heard Prelude's pretty good because it helps the game go a little snappier.
Yes, we definitely played with Prelude. It gives you a lot of bonuses right at the front end of the game, which helps you get going a lot faster. So that was really helpful. But I honestly really enjoyed Cabo over the weekend, the card game. I did not expect it to be as fun as it was. So we played that a significant amount of times, at least 10.
I think you would enjoy Silver then, because Silver is Cabo the next level.
Oh, okay. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to know.
We may have a secret copy
that we're not allowed to talk about.
Coming soon.
Okay.
Yes. The next Silver. There's actually two Silvers that are already out, Silver Amulet and Silver Bullet. There's the next Silver that starts with a C, and I can't tell you what it is, but we'll tell you after the podcast
something
ends.
Something C.
Very cool. No,
so
I'm
was that the
that.
New deluxe edition?
Oh, it absolutely was.
Awesome.
Deluxe edition of Cabo. Give you two decks inside the deluxe edition.
Oh, cool.
So it's just much easier to get a next round started. You can start the next round while you're shuffling the old cards, right? So that way
cool.
when you're ready to go, you just keep on moving.
So the cool thing is if you want to see what the deluxe version looks like, go to our channel, our YouTube channel, and check out the Saturday Morning Board Game Show episode 2, because I think Jonah's going to show it off, because this episode's already, when this episode goes live, that Saturday Morning Board Game Show will also already be live, so check it out.
Saturday Morning Board Game Show is one of my new favorite things.
I really like it.
Tantrum House is putting out.
Yep.
Super fun.
Melissa and I were able to also play some other games over the weekend. Destroyer of Words.
So thanks. Scrabble, Attack Scrabble.
Attack Scrabble.
Attack Scrabble, wow.
Yeah, so you have your like Scrabble-like tiles on your little holder, and there's a board with kind of a grid pattern, but there aren't any bonuses
on the
board.
No double letters, no double words, or something, things like that.
When you play your letters, they have different kind of arrows pointing in different directions, and if you cover certain spaces on the board, you can then attack other people's words. So you pick a letter and follow the way it's pointing. It may have three or four different points on it, and the range of your attack is how many letters are in that word, and then how many tiles you've used on your turn. You can make multiple words on your turn, unlocks certain attack powers. So the more letters you've used, the more powerful the attacks are, and you're basically destroying other letters. And if I destroy a letter in the middle of a word, and then if I take that letter away and the other letters don't make a word anymore, I can take all the tiles away until it makes a word. And based on where they are in the board, you put them on your board for 1 point, 2 point, or 3 points. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I am not as good at making words as Melissa is, but like she said, you don't have to make just one word. So you could use all your letters in on your little player, what do you call that, holder, and you can make three-letter words, four-letter words, five-letter words. It doesn't really matter because you can make multiple words on your turn. As long as you have enough range to hit someone else's letter, you're golden. So,
interesting.
And if you hit their right spot on someone's word, you can do some major destruction. Sorry, Melissa.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Kevin had words where, like, oh, you hit the first letter, you take it away. Oh, and it's still a word.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah. Some of those easier words that would be easier to not get destroyed or be harder to destroy.
Destroy, maybe. It is. Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I made the word buoyancy, but when you take a letter away from that, it doesn't. So.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Yep. So does it leave holes in the board?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's words all over the board. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. That's the other thing I don't think we said. They don't have to connect either. So you could just literally just place a letter, word out.
Out anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you do have areas that are yours, and it does matter at the end of the game. Every tile in your space is also worth a point. So you are keeping your words in your spots.
Yeah, each player has a quadrant of the board, and you have to have, if you're making a letter, some of your letters have to be in your quadrant. So you can't just go put, if I'm the lower left quadrant, I can't just do a word in the upper right. Mm-hmm. But I can start in my quadrant and move into someone else's.
Cool. Back to Jonah, I know you had mentioned Inner Compass from AEG. I've heard mixed reviews on this. Give us your little flyover thoughts on this.
Sure. Yeah, we played Inner Compass. I actually thought the game was pretty good. I thought the kind of ask. So in the game, what you're attempting to do is place tiles from your board of a specific emotion, actually, which I believe are love and happiness and anger and fear. And you're trying to place the, and they're also represented by colors like yellow, blue, red, and black. And so you're trying to place those tiles of that color on the board of the same color, and they're like all mixed up all over the place. Mm-hmm. For certain bonuses, like if you have all of your tiles on fear, the black color, you know, that might get you a certain bonus, or all of your tiles on anger, something like that, might get you a certain bonus. And you're doing so, but you can only, the way that you move on the board is really unique. So you can move within the same color on the board as like far as you want. But when you come off the color, you have to choose a direction, north, east, west, or south, and you also get the card that corresponds with the direction that you picked. So you might need to go to the right, but you might get a card of a color that you don't need or emotion that you don't need by doing so. So it makes it a little tricky to make sure that you have all of the cards representing the emotions, so you can use those same color emotion cards to get that same color action space off of your board to try to meet your bonuses. But the mechanics of the game were actually like really cool. I really enjoyed it. The emotion part of the game, the fear and the anger, things like that, it kind of made it a little bit tricky to remember exactly what you were going for, because it's kind of easier just to call it by the color, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going for blue or whatever it is, as opposed to saying like I'm going for fear. But other than that, I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a really cool, unique, I had never played a game before where depending on which way I move also dictates which resource kind of that you get. And because they don't match all the time, it makes it really tricky to make sure you're gathering your resources, but also going the right direction. And so that was really fun, actually.
Anybody else play anything before we say goodbye?
Talked about.
We played Bees.
Are we allowed to talk about?
We can talk about Bees. Okay. We can't talk about Holy.
Okay.
We can talk about Holy, but we can't talk about it.
Okay. I just didn't know if I was allowed to mention names.
We can talk about Holy, that you can listen to us talk about Holy in the future.
Holy was a very interesting game.
Yes.
That's all I guess I can say.
Yeah, 3D area control game that we'll talk about. I think Floodgate's going to take that to Kickstarter in the next probably couple months. But anyway, Bees. Let's talk about Bees.
Yeah. It was kind of like a Splendor Light.
Splendor Light.
Yeah. Yeah, Splendor Light.
You don't have as many choices.
I think Splendor plus Lanterns.
I could see that. I don't know. I think Lanterns is more complicated.
Well, the Lanterns is where, like, when you do something, everyone else is sort of getting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of what I was thinking. Anyway.
So there are a lot of B games that have come out recently. So yes. What's this one exactly?
So in,
which B game is
yes,
it?
Yes, and B's from Van Ryder Games and Awaken Realms. Light. That's their sort of other imprint. You, on your turn, are going to be drawing some cards that allow you to get these pollen, different color pollen. And when you get pollen, oh, thank you. Bees the Secret Kingdom. Melissa's bringing it up on BGG for us. So if you're looking it up, it's called Bees the Secret Kingdom. Anyway, you're drawing these cards, collecting pollen, but when you collect pollen, every other player is also collecting pollen. But not as much. So you're getting more of certain colors and other players are getting less.
Yeah, you draw two cards and you pick which one you want to play. And it may say you get two purple pollen crystals and everyone else gets one pollen.
And instead of drawing cards to collect pollen, you can spend your pollen to get basically point cards. But the cool thing about these point cards are they have, many of them at least, have a special like action or they activate when you get them. So you're spending two red and a blue for a honey card. And it'll say, take another turn. Or
everyone else gets a pollen. Yay!
Yeah, I didn't go after those. Or things like that. And yeah, so we all played around and the game basically ends when the last honey card is drawn from the deck and everybody else gets a turn. So everyone was sort of like not wanting to draw that last card.
Yeah, it was a very close game. Very, very close.
So close that we all three of us tied at 13 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen real often in games.
No, so I drew the last card and I got a 3-point card. So I thought I had it because I knew that neither Kevin or Ryan could get enough pollen to get one of those really high honey cards. But leftover pollen every three is worth a point. So they were able to match my score with leftover pollen.
Yes, yeah, so I think Melissa had 13 actual points and Ryan and I had 11 plus 2 extra points from our pollen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it all counts as points in the end.
Right.
Yeah. My points were better.
Yeah. So Katie, Valerie, Jonah, and I busted out the base game of Rival Restaurants tonight.
Oh, I talked about that in our Kickstarter conniption.
We did. This was my first time playing. Jonah had played already.
I had, yep.
And
creamed them. You creamed them.
I was close.
Okay. I creamed him. Yeah,
he did. I was next in line to. I think I actually completed more recipes than Jonah, but Jonah had used the event
action cards
and the expansion will have event cards. He used more action cards and then completed some of the gourmet recipes, which give you more points. They give you more garbage that your restaurant has to try and get rid of, but his chef or his restaurant bonus was getting rid of garbage.
Yep,
so.
I had a really cool restaurant bonus, and it allowed me to get rid of garbage kind of every time I hit a certain level. And then at kind of the final bonus of that restaurant was that I was able to get rid of garbage, cost a little bit extra, but I didn't have to go to the island to get rid of it. So it made it really easy to go collect the ingredients I needed to complete my orders and also get rid of garbage all in kind of one swoop. So mm-hmm. I was able to complete a lot of those gourmet orders, which won the game.
Yep. Very cool. Yeah, my restaurant was, it gave me bonus of money. It gave me some upgrades for money, which was very helpful at the beginning. But then I had so much money at the end, I just couldn't go to enough places to get my ingredients. So it should have propelled me faster towards the end. I just didn't pull it off.
Cool. Well, that sort of wraps up our show. But before you, before we leave, we wanted to tell you some things that are happening at Tantrum House. First, if you're listening to this today on February 17th, when this podcast goes live, we have our community game night, which usually is the last Monday of the month, but we had to change things around, so it is February 17th. And we'd love for you to join us if you are if you live in Greenville or if you want to travel to join us. The other thing is our next Tantrum Talks is Thursday night. It'll be a live YouTube video on February 20th, and we'd love for you to join us on YouTube and check out that video. And once again, don't forget about the Saturday Morning Board Game Show and all our other videos that go live. So thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you all next time. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.